This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Word is that the EPA is trying to determine if it has authority to grant E15 the same vapor waiver they did E10, so it can be sold in the summer too. It seems like a stupid question to me. Of course they do. If they have to ask such a question, it gives me the impression that they are just trying to slow it down. Granting the E15 vapor waiver should not be an issue for a pro-ethanol Trump administration. What is taking them so long? Our International Trade Commission voted unanimously to impose tariffs on Argentine biodiesel. Part of the reason that Argentina exported 2 million metric tons of biodiesel last year was the dollar a gallon blender's credit in the U.S., which their product qualified for. I've not read the size of the tariff, but it would have to be huge to offset the blender's credit. It has expired, and they are looking at reinstating it as a producer's credit, so Argentine product would not qualify. It remains to be seen whether they'll be successful in bringing back the dollar-a-gallon tax credit, but the tariff should boost U.S. soy oil prices, which will also increase the cost input of U.S. biodiesel. This should boost demand for U.S. soy oil and reduce the competition from the imports. We need something to boost the domestic soybean crush, which has slowed. REG stock is sharply higher on the news of the impending tariff. Circling back to ethanol, the ethanol grind has continued at a strong level. The reason, however, is cheap corn. With the corn price barely above $3 a bushel in the heart of ethanol country, we would hope that they would sustain the grind. Ethanol was competing well with $50 a barrel oil and $3 plus corn. Weak oil prices, however, will reduce the ability of ethanol producers to make money if corn goes up at all. Crude started out the week steady. OPEC will continue its production cuts because the market could not take any more production without further damage. They're caught until demand improves. On grains, the freeze threat for the eastern corn belt appears to have lessened. Planting has resumed here under near-perfect conditions. Corn planting is not the least bit late here. The trade looks for as much as 45% of the corn crop to be in Monday afternoon, which will lag the average but will catch up quickly. The forecast is positive. I did lose my tomatoes planted, even though they were covered in the recent freeze. If that's the only crop I lose this year, it'll be pretty good. There are farmers in Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana who were under the deluges that are not happy. The conditions over a much larger area where the most corn is actually grown are just fine. I believe the scope of the problem area is being exaggerated by bullish market pundits. Corn is locked in a trading range with no reason to go up, but too early in the season to give up on the bull. Soy meal is coiling into a symmetrical triangle chart formation, which has a high likelihood for a downside breakout. Soy oil is trying to carry the soy complex. Soybean charts look like they are building bear flags. There's been nothing that has happened yet this spring that should have reduced soybean acreage. Emmanuel Macron is now the president-elect of France, taking Le Pen to the cleaners with a massive election victory, garnering two-thirds of the vote. It looks like populist national socialism hit a roadblock in France. Macron now has to build a party, as this was somewhat like an independent winning hare. He was not a traditional party candidate. Le Pen said that she would have closed France's borders, left the European Union, Euro, and NATO behind, unraveling European unity, cozying up to Putin. Why that sounded good to Trump, who supported her, is troubling. Trump did congratulate Macron on his landslide victory this weekend, which made Trump's puny 100,000 vote electoral squeaker, 3 million popular vote loss, look pathetically weak by comparison. Vive la France! Unfortunately, the French election split rural-urban as well, with French farmers supporting Le Pen, and she will now lead the opposition. It will be very hard, likely impossible, for them to give up their precautionary principle. Donald will pray the Brits against the European Union, which will still be Germany and France for a while. The Brits' divorce with the European Union is going to heat up soon as the negotiations begin. The European Union is demanding what is the contract for UK financial obligations to the European Union. It's like owing a whole bunch of money on a note that only comes due if you want to leave the country. The Brits act like they intend to ignore it, and they want as good a trade deal as they had before as a member without the liabilities. I don't see how this is not going to get very acrimonious at some point in time. Both want trade deals with the United States to give them leverage against the other. Maybe Donald can use that. I am sure that he sees it as opportunity. The French election was not close in polls, as was the case with the Brexit, so markets were very little moved by the outcome Monday. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.